This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark and Julian Ng. The markets, now Asian markets closed mostly in the green. Hang Seng was up 1.6%. The Shanghai's composite was up 0.9%, while the Nikkei was down 0.5% and the Kospi down 0.3%. Both the STI and the FBM KLCI, though, up 0.6%.
And over in the US, the Nasdaq was up 0.25%, climbing to fresh records high, lifted by gains by Facebook, Broadcom and Tesla. However, the Dow was down 0.33% following disappointing reports from retailers such as Home Depot after the company cut its annual forecast. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 closed marginally down at 0.1%.
So for more on global markets this morning, we speak to Dodge Dorland, Chief Investment Officer at Lander Wealth Management. Thank you for joining us, Dodge. Now, President Donald Trump and Fed Chairman Jerome Powell met earlier this week in a meeting described by the former as very good and cordial. What's your read of the meeting? And will this mark a calming of the sometimes volatile relationship between Trump and Powell?
Good morning. Well, maybe, but probably not. I think we're at that political moment where we're waiting to see if there is if China and the U.S. can come to an accord. In the meantime, we're getting close to our election season for next year, so it's in Trump's best interest to be amicable with Powell. Powell, just continues to drive his car right down the middle of the road. He doesn't fluctuate. He doesn't go from one side to the other. So he's very clear about what he's going to do and what he's going to read. So for now, it's in Trump's best interest to have a friendly environment here in the U.S. And so we suspect that this is going to go on for a while until something geopolitically alarming comes up, and then we'll see what happens. But for now, yes, we're in a friendly environment. It should stay there for now.
Dodge, very quickly, the other conversation that's happening is also the starting of the testimony of impeachment against Donald Trump. Is there anything from those conversations that would affect the markets?
Not yet. Let's wait and see. There's something that has to be viewed as more serious than what's going on now. Now it's just the Democrats versus Republicans. But for now, it's not affecting our market.
Okay, and Dodge, U.S. equities have also been on a rally this year, but Morgan Stanley predicts that the fortunes will reverse in 2020 amid the U.S. growth slowdown. So do you agree with their forecast that the U.S. will underperform their peers next year?
I agree with the U.S. slowdown, but I also believe that there's going to be more of a slowdown throughout the world. So whether the U.S. underperforms or performs equal to our peers is not clear to me. I think that everyone, all nations, all our peers are going to go through some weakness next year, and each country is going to have to prove itself to be positive in order for the market to continue the performance that we've had so far.
And also, U.S. retailers giving a very mixed read of the sector moving into the holiday season, with companies like Kohl's and Home Depot reporting very weak demand. What do you make of this?
I think that we're going through a major transition, and it's happening just before our holiday season when there's going to be a real visual expectation that that sales are going to go up, but they're not. And everyone's going to have to adapt to the changing environment, the mixture between retail online and retail when you go to a store. So we're going to have to see. Now, TJX came out, and it had strong sales, but its holiday quarter guidance is weak. Walmart came out, and it was strong for a while, but even that it's weakened. It actually ended lower the following its earnings result. So we've got a couple that we're going to watch very carefully coming up in the near future, but there is real weakness in our retail, and it's going to have to prove itself, particularly in the holiday season. But right now, it's negative.
And Dodge, so later this week, we are also going to be hearing from Target as well as Macy's. What will you be keeping an eye out for in those announcements, especially for Macy's, since they disappointed during the second quarter?
Yes, I will be watching Macy's, but what really piques my interest is Target. Since Nike could partner with Target going forward now that it has ended the sales with Amazon. So we're going to watch how the market reacts to Target's result. If Target can hold $109, which is a 50-day moving average, in other words, investors who've been in it for 50 days, intermediate term, are willing to hold on to it, then that would be a positive. So we're going to watch Target very carefully. But overall, you know, retail is going to have to prove itself. It's an evolutionary process now, and it's just going so fast now. You have millennials coming in, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot going on with retail now, and it's definitely changing. It's a much different world. What companies can adapt to it? That's what we're going to see. Macy's has not proven itself to be able to do that. Target may, but it has to come through. So far, it hasn't.
And turning our attention to the emerging markets, Malaysia, one of those markets, have underperformed for the past 1.5 years, returning a negative 5%. And Bloomberg highlighted this as much to international investors. What is your view on the emerging markets right now, following examples like Malaysia and also coming out of that trade spat between U.S. and China?
Yes, well, the U.S.-China trade spat is much more serious and has much longer-term implications, and I'm not sure that there's going to be a friendly, maybe we get to phase one, but longer-term it's going to be a challenge. Now, in terms of, Croatia, Denmark, Finland, Israel, Netherlands, Norway, Romania, maybe Taiwan, maybe Vietnam, they may come forward. I would like to see one, improve valuation in Malaysia with the catalyst. Also, I would like to see an improved profit cycle, both of which can happen. I mean, if you read the Bloomberg article, most of the issue is the political upheaval from the general election and the fact that PH must still deal with the supposed power transition from one prime minister to another. The succession was previously clear-cut, but now it's been muddled. So if we can get through that, if you can get through that and get back to having some programs that require financial support by the government and require hiring, et cetera, then I think it'll come out. And I think that Malaysia has a greater opportunity to change the perspective of the world about it as an investment opportunity. All we need now is just a little proof that, the profit cycle is improved, that there's a catalyst for improving valuations. And once that occurs, it's a great buy. But that has to occur first before you get investors to be interested in coming back into it.
Well, thank you so much, Dodge. And that was Dodge Dorland, Chief Investment Officer at Landa Wealth Management in New York, with his thoughts on the fact that basically we need to get all our chickens in line first before we manage to get investors back into, manage to get them back into the country. But also, Dodge was weighing in on the U.S.-China trade spat. And there has been some news about that this morning as well, because according to Bloomberg sources, the near deal between the U.S. and China that fell apart about 6 months ago, that's now being used as a benchmark to decide how much tariffs should be rolled back in this initial phase of a broader trade agreement. So the two sides are discussing linking the size of tariff rollbacks to the preliminary terms set in that failed May deal. But of course, the Chinese have demanded that all the tariffs imposed after May must be removed immediately.
Yeah, I think that would be the single biggest factor of what would influence the market in the next 6 to 12 months. The other one being the ascendance of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren in the Democratic race for president for the presidential election, and how they would break up big tech and impose more costs onto the U.S. economy by taxing the rich and so on. I think the rich people and the market participants would be focusing on that. But obviously, as far as the emerging markets are concerned, there is this argument that the market in the emerging markets are quite cheap compared to the US markets, but then value or cheapness has actually underperformed some of the other factors in the last 10 years, the factors like growth and quality. So you see that a lot of the big tech stocks have moved ahead compared to cheap stocks, and the emerging markets are at the cheaper end of things.
And of course, President Donald Trump, unsurprisingly, has also threatened higher tariffs on Chinese goods if they don't come to a deal on trade. And specifically, so financial markets, which have proven reactive to the developments in the ongoing trade war, though, largely shrugged off his latest warning. I think it's very much a case of we've seen it all before. So, you know, why bother reacting again now? So the mayor of Paris, also in some other news, which is due to host the Olympics in 2024, he has taken issue with a sponsorship deal between the Games and Airbnb Inc., saying that Airbnb pushes working people out of the housing market, according to reports by French media.
Yeah, I think this is because people are, the landlords are preparing for the Olympics and taking those properties out of the rental of normal people, the particular residents of those locations. And this is causing tightness in the supply of rentable property in those areas, and therefore riling up a lot of the locals. And this is something for policy to consider as well, whether you want to take care of people's housing needs or the profitability of landlords.
Yes, and just recently also a tribunal in Ontario ruled in favour of some of the bylaws passed by Toronto aimed at reining in short-term rentals to deal with just this, because Toronto has itself also been grappling with a housing shortage. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.